The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've showed up on a good day because we're starting a new series. We have a multiple-part series where we're responding to a popular article online called No Holiness, No Heaven by Greg Morse. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss right now. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's do something a little different today, Bob. You found an article from desiringgod.org.
Oh, that's Dr. John Piper's ministry.
That's John Piper's ministry.
Yeah.
We've interacted with John Piper's work before. I think there was a little controversy, I think, online about whether or not he believed in work salvation, and different, even Reformed ministries came out and noted that, hey, this really looks like work salvation. But I think we were one of the first to point that out. We did it in a YouTube video, which you can find on, well, YouTube. He wrote I think it was an introduction to a book by Thomas Schreiner, one of his books. And it seems pretty clear. He says, you know, he says something like, you know, faith justifies, but you need something more than faith to actually get into heaven or get final salvation. I forget the exact wording of it, but it was definitely a work salvation kind of message. But this article is not by John Piper. It is by Greg Morse, and the title is No Holiness, No Heaven: How to Know If Faith is Real or Dead.
Yes, and this is based on Hebrews 12:14, and maybe I could read that verse, because he makes a lot of this verse, and it sure sounds like at first reading like he's got a point. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so this Greg Morse at the Desiring God website is now going to talk about no holiness, no heaven. That's the way he interprets it.
Right. And he says his opening line is, and just ask yourself the question, what kind of gospel message does this sound like? Does this sound like a faith alone message, or does this sound like a faith plus works salvation message? What would that be compatible with or consistent with? Here's his opening line. No one will be in heaven who did not walk in good works on earth. And then he quotes Hebrews 12:14 in support of that. In other words, and in the words of Hebrews 12:14, there is a holiness without which no one will see the Lord, abbreviated, no holiness, no heaven.
And by abbreviated, he means interpreted. His interpretation. Now, I've got a number one out by that one. That's his first point, is that Hebrews 12:14 is teaching that you have to have holiness to get heaven. And by the way, notice how what he says in the lead-up is not what the verse says. No one will be in heaven who did not walk in good works on earth. You could walk in good works on earth and not attain holiness.
Right.
In other words, if you have good works every day of your life, even though you're not a mature believer, an immature believer could still walk in good works, could still confess their sins and walk in some good works, but they wouldn't attain to a level of Christian maturity.
Okay.
Because holiness without which no one will see the Lord is more than just some scattered good works here and there, right?
Yeah.
So his first point, I think, is rather odd. But then he goes to a second verse for more proof.
And I guess it's just the way he's writing here. He kind of has these brief statements as he's breaking out his argument. So the first one is abbreviated, no holiness, no heaven. Now he says, in directness, faith without works is dead.
Now he here is quoting James 2:26
right,
in the New American Standard. But that's also James 2:17, and that's also James 2:20, and he's not discussing what Hebrews 12:14 means. He just says what it means.
He just says.
He's not discussing what James 2:26 means. He's just saying it means what he says it means.
He thinks the interpretation is obvious, right? Well, that somehow faith without works is dead shows you can't get to heaven with a dead faith.
And we'll come back and go through each of these points in a minute.
Yeah.
But what you just said, Sean, is just dead wrong. Every one of these verses needs discussion. He can't just quote right. a verse and then say, that proves it. Let's get another piece of proof.
Right, right.
Now,
right.
what's the third proof?
In confession, and then he quotes the Westminster Confession.
I see. Is this scripture, or is this a new verse in the Bible or something? Or no, the Westminster Confession was, what, 1649, I think?
Right. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification, yet it is not alone in the person justified, but it is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but works by love. And that's somewhere in the Westminster Confession. And I guess the point is something like this, and I think he goes on to explain this or state his view about it. It means that God justifies the people that he's predestined to heaven on the basis of the faith that he's given them. But because they're being given this faith, true faith is accompanied by all these other graces that God only gives to the elect, one of which is that it's not going to be a dead faith, it's going to be a living faith that produces works.
And produces love.
Yeah, so...
Or works that spring from love.
Right, yeah. So it's something like, I think it's something like that. I'm trying to be fair to his view.
Now, I will say before we move on, that we're not going to give a lot of discussion of the Westminster Confession because this isn't scripture. So even if this is what the Westminster Confession says, that's not a proof at all.
No, yeah, not for us, yeah.
I mean, I could quote Zane Hodges, but does that prove anything? No.
Right, no.
I could quote Charles Ryrie or I could quote Lewis Berry Chafer. That wouldn't prove anything either. And I could quote some church councils. That doesn't prove anything. What proves something is the Word of God.
Right. And by the way, that kind of you raise a good point there. On the one hand, you know, I find that quote helpful in understanding his position. I don't necessarily find it helpful in understanding the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Right? This is just helping me understand what he believes. But on the other hand, I don't want to blame him for having a tradition because, as you say, you have a tradition, right?
Sure.
Zane Hodges and Ryrie and Dallas Seminary.
But you know what? It not only helps you understand what he believes, but it helps you understand why he believes it.
Yeah.
I think if we were going to be honest, number one would be the Westminster Confession of Faith.
Because he's understanding these verses in light of what
right.
Westminster Confession
The Westminster
says,
Confession yeah. of Faith already told him what's true.
Yeah.
So now Reformed theologians have looked at these passages in light of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and they tell him that these are what they mean.
Yeah, I think a lot of lay people do that.
Right.
But I don't know that like a New Testament scholar at one of these Reformed seminaries is sitting down and interpreting scripture in light of the Westminster Confession. Maybe they are, but I don't think so.
I don't know. You know, when I've told this joke before, but it's the old joke from Art Farstad about how the New Testament scholar who retired was asked if he had any regrets, and he says, "I regret I never studied the New Testament."
Yeah.
And I asked Art what that meant, and he said, "Well, New Testament scholars know what every other New Testament scholar says about a given verse."
Yeah.
But they don't actually study those verses. They can just tell you what all the other ones say, and then they form their opinion based on looking at all the views of the various people. That's basically, I think, what goes on not just in Reform circles, but yeah. Arminian circles. Sometimes it even goes on in Free Grace circles. I read a lot of Free Grace people.
Well, you read commentaries, don't you?
I mean, not as many
as other people, but...
Well, when I'm preparing any kind of a message, I'm looking at commentaries.
There's a few here on the shelf.
Yeah, and I use the ones in Logos, which I have, well, I don't know how many, 100 in Logos or something. I use them not only in my messages, but my books. I recently did a book called 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible, and I quoted a whole lot of people who wouldn't agree with the free grace position.
Right.
But on individual verses, they agreed this verse is saying faith is the only condition.
So reading a commentary doesn't mean you're not studying the Bible.
No, but what the difference is, do we determine our view first by the scriptures, and then we go to the commentaries?
Right.
Or do we go to the commentaries
or
the Westminster Confession or London Confession or whatever?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at number, what is it? That was number three. We got number four.
And by these numbers, these are just your numbers that you wrote on
this piece of paper. I put them in my margin.
You're not going to find it in the article if you...
And you can find the article at www.desiringgod.org/articles and then just look for No Holiness, No Heaven.
He says, in commandment, work out, literally produce, your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. So I guess his point is something should be produced by your faith relating to salvation, I suppose.
Right. But notice, if what he's saying is true, then he's saying you need to produce your own salvation.
I mean, that's what he says, literally, produce your own salvation. That's how he quotes the text.
So. And of course, many Calvinists, and I think that may be the case with Morse, hold the view that there's such a thing, you already mentioned it earlier about Dr. Piper, final salvation.
Yeah.
So if this is talking about what they call final salvation, then they're fine with saying work to get your final salvation or produce your own final salvation. In other words, God gives you initial salvation as a gift, but final salvation you earn by works.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what he means, but when all he says is in commandment, colon, work out, literally produce your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, that's what he implies.
Then he says, in illustration, every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. John 15:2-6.
So is he an Arminian?
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away. Yeah,
so wouldn't that be an Arminian view? How can he be a Calvinist and say, I'm a branch in Jesus, but yet I don't produce my own salvation, and so I get sent to hell? I don't know, see how that supports his position, but okay. And what about 6?
In lyric.
Oh.
He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23:3. I guess that he takes that as a promise that God always leads you, maybe drags you, I don't know, into paths of righteousness. So it's like God's always leading people in righteousness. If you're not in righteousness, then God is not leading you.
All right, we're close to out of time, but let me say I want to come back to this one.
Well, I think this last sentence, we have to say that because that's the most, maybe just biggest emphasis here. He says, in repetition, just to repeat the points he's made before, no one will be in heaven who did not walk in good works on earth.
Yeah, I don't call that a seventh point. No. I just say he's repeating his first point.
Right.
So we got a lot more to go through. But what I would like to do in the next episode is go through these first 6 points and see if we can get some detail on them. Would that be fair?
You mean offer our own interpretation?
That's what
verses.
I mean. Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all are going to have to decide which interpretation is correct. But let me suggest that just by pointing out some details of the context, we get a leg up because we're actually looking at the passage, which is something Morse does not do.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. In tomorrow's part 2 of No Holiness, No Heaven, we're going to look at Hebrews 12:14-16. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.